This letter to the Hebrews was probably written from Jerusalem and sent to Hebrews living in Rome. People who weren't in their home country but had their traditions, knew what it was like to be Jewish, and now wondering how can this be transformed, be made into this new way, the Christian way. So listen to these words. Since the law is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the true form of these realities, it can never be the same as sacrifices that are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who approach. And every priest stands by each day, day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he, Jesus Christ, has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us for saying these same words as the prophet Jeremiah heard, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts and I will write it on their minds." He also added, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From Psalm 15, we hear, "O Lord, O Lord, who can come before you? Who can live in your tent?" Or from the New Living Translation, "Who can worship in your sanctuary?" Why, those who are blameless and do what is right, who speak the truth, don't gossip, those who do not love evil, those who do nothing against their neighbors, those who honor and fear the Lord, who stand by their promises even when it's difficult and it hurts, people who do not lend money at interest, but who give money to those in need. These are the people who can come before the Lord. Wow, sounds like perfect people to me. Perfect people. Where are these perfect people? Anyone you know? Anyone I know? Let me say that when I look in the mirror, I see far from perfection. Yet that person that I see in the mirror, you sitting in the pews, the people driving by us, and all the people around the globe, these are the people God loves. And God knows all of us are totally incapable of being perfect. Yet we try, and we try, and we try. We try to make our rules and live by them, to be perfect on our own, to not need God or each other, to not need family or community. We strive to be that perfect example of a human. And the letter to the Hebrews informs us of how ridiculous this is, to try and be perfect and save ourselves. all the sacrifices for 1,000 years. All the Hebrew priests who stood before the people day after day, all the good works throughout all the ages can never make us perfect. There is only one who is perfect, our Lord Jesus Christ, and only through Christ do we have the opportunity and, yes, the ability to strive for his perfect love and salvation. Again, that doesn't stop us from trying to perfect ourselves. We want to be perfect. We try to be perfect. Some of us try for our looks. There's skin creams and diets, facelifts and tummy tucks. Some of us, it's our clothes. Fancy designers, perfectly match, accessorized to the nth degree. Some of us, it's sports, practicing and practicing. Some, it's with our education and minds. I'm the best in math or reading, in music, or whatever you think you are close to perfection. We strive for it, my friends. And I have to tell you, I think it's dangerous. Striving to be perfect is dangerous. It's dangerous for our bodies. It's dangerous for our spirits. And it's dangerous for our souls. Now, I don't want you to think that I believe that life is easy and service should be effortless. Our work and our mission should neither be lazy or careless, sloppy or negligent. That would be an insult to the great cloud of witnesses that came before us that have served us with dignity and pride. That would be an insult on this Veterans Day to all who have served our country so very well, not perfectly, but exceptionally, excellently, extraordinarily well. I believe that is what each of us is called to do, to try exceptionally, to try excellently. I read this quote recently, and boy, I wish I could tell you where it's from. But I didn't write it down at the time because I'd remember that. Well, I don't. Perfect, use a note. But the quote was, don't let the perfect stop the good. Don't let the perfect stop the good. It's the genesis for me of this sermon. It's what I thought about for the last 2 weeks. How sometimes we stop doing things because we can't do them perfectly. I can't sing well enough, so I'm not joining the choir. But then I stop the perfect joy of singing. The offering I can give is so small, it won't make a difference. So I won't give anything at all. I'll let the big dollar stop the joy of the widow's penny. I only have time for 30 minutes of service this week, so I won't bother of attending. I'll let the long hours stop the meaningful minutes. Searching for the perfect stops the good. Demanding perfect stops the work. It stops the service, it stops the mission, and it's not what Christ is calling us to do. Christ is calling us, calling each one of us to be faithful in our service. Service to our church, service to our community, service to each other in the world. Every day of our lives, every minute of each hour, to each person we meet, Jesus calls us in ministry and mission with him. Not to be perfect, but to be kind and good. Calling us not to be the finest disciples who ever walked the earth, but calling us to the walk. Calling us not to be the greatest community which ever existed, but calling us to be community. Calling us to say, good enough might not be perfect, but it can be good enough. Close enough might not be perfect, but it can be close enough. There is one section of the gospel, though, where Jesus explains perfect to us. It is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Listen to this passage. "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Oh, wait, perfect. Jesus tells the crowd and us to love our family and friends, but also to love our enemies as well, to pray for them, to share with them. And in doing so, we would be perfect like our heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect. It's a word we use in 21st century America that is different than the Jews would have heard in first century Palestine or the ancient Hebrews of Psalms 15. Perfect to them would have meant whole. Perfect to them would have meant complete. It would have been the idea of shalom, God for all the world. God sees this world as one. He gives rain to the just and the unjust. He cares for the whole people. Can we be perfect in this sense, giving honor and respect to all God's children? Being good stewards of God's world, being generous with all God has given us. Can we do as the writer of Hebrews asks and provoke, or maybe a better word, prod, each other to love and to do good deeds? For that is what we are called to do. We cannot do it, we cannot do it perfectly, but we don't need to. We do not need to be perfect because Jesus has done it perfectly for us. He has shown us what wholeness is. In his life and his death, Jesus displayed this to perfection. In his resurrection and promised return, Jesus has made this world perfect. And he makes it perfect for us in the wholeness of his kingdom to come. So it's hard to be perfect. We can try to be perfect. But in gratitude for all Christ has done for us, if we can't be perfect, let's at least do our best. Amen. Thank you.